We begin in Hebrews chapter 4 today. We're covering a large section, so I am going to move very quickly. But the idea of today's passage is to be persevering and persevering in hope. Because, as we already saw in chapter 3, it is imperative that we continue on in the faith, or the other idea is that if we don't continue on in the faith, we will face judgment just as those who died in the wilderness. We need to continue to persevere on the basis that God offers hope and peace and rest to those who do continue in the faith. God has promised a rest to his people. His people are those who believe. So therefore, verse 1, let us fear. Why do we need to fear? Because of the examples set for us by the Israelites who perished in the wilderness because of their disbelief and their disobedience. If, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. In other words, we could come short of this promise, not as believers who fall away, but those who hear the gospel and never truly respond in the first place. We're going to keep pounding that theology into our hearts as we look at the bigger picture of Scripture, understanding these texts, that those who went out from us were never truly of us. So those who deny the faith never truly had possession of the faith in the first place. But God still does warn believers to continue on in the faith because we must, because it's evidence and fruit of true saving faith. Verse 2, for indeed we have had good news preached to us. Of course, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ as he has already come being preached to us. But the Israelites in the wilderness had promises made to them by God. And of course, they had the messianic promises through Abraham and Jacob, and later on through King David and Isaiah and so forth. They had the great promises of God laid before them, and yet they did not believe. They also had this good news preached to them. But as he continues on in that verse 2, he says, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Maybe you've heard the gospel message proclaimed many, many times, and yet you've never come to truly believe it. You've never united the gospel message with faith. And I would submit to you today is the day of salvation. Trust in Jesus Christ. Unite the message with faith. Call upon God. Ask him to work in your heart to trust in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord and you will be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. He says in verse 3 of chapter 4, he says this, for we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said. In other words, there is this great promise. You will, if you truly believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of God, you will enter this rest which he has promised. He says, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So we have this negative given, just as those who denied his promises in the Old Testament were barred from the promised land, surely also those who do believe will enter that promised land, just as Joshua and Caleb. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, verse 6, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of their disobedience. Verse 7, he again fixes a certain day today, saying through David after so long a time, just as he had been said before, today, just as it had been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Rather have a tender heart towards God's word. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. In other words, this was simply a picture pointing forward to the final rest, which God provides for those who believe in him. Verse 9, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, what should we do? We should be diligent to enter that rest. How can we be diligent under that rest? Keep believing. Have tender hearts. Do not harden our hearts, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. How else do we need to be confident of this? Well, put your arms around your brothers and sisters in Christ and your church and encourage them to follow after Christ. Do not give up. Diligently continue. Diligently depend on God as a team. And take hope and encouragement that if you do truly believe, God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. And how do we know, though, that a lack of faith will be found out if you are just faking it? If you are not truly a believer, he says in the very next verse, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." This ought to strike great fear into our hearts that God knows us, but it also can strike great hope into our hearts that God knows us. So if you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a gift of God in the first place. And he knows you as his child, and he will not allow you to ever undergo his wrath. You are protected from it, as his wrath has already been placed upon the shoulders of his son, Jesus Christ. But also it ought to give fear. Continue believing. Don't fake it. If you don't truly believe, repent and truly believe, because God's word is active. It's living, sharper than any two-edged sword, and all things are laid bare before God Almighty. He knows, he sees, he's aware.